This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Hope your lunch hour is going great, or if it's just starting out. What are we eating? 713-572-4610. Maybe it's an eclair C small.
Yeah, it could be. Chocolate.
Is that what you
chocolate eclair
C small. Okay, there you go.
Or get some crawfish from the, what is it, the Crafty Craft.
Is that where the fellas are
the
today?
Craft, yeah. I actually know that area pretty well because my guy Calvin, my mechanic, he be over in that area.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to go over there right after.
Oh, so you know,
get my car straightened out.
All right. Now I want to go too. I want to go get some crawfish as well. As Ron, right on schedule, just walks by with the creepiest grin. Just looking like the Cheshire Cat. Looking all wild. All right. Let's talk.
I got to know. Ask Ron, Figgy. Ask Ron why he's staring at.
He was looking because he heard us talking about it, and he said, why everybody keep telling us we in the hood today?
And if you are,
there's a little hood over there.
Hey, if is the crawfish good? The community is going to be fine? We going to fellowship?
Their crawfish is actually pretty good.
What's wrong with the hood?
Yeah, that's a great question.
What's wrong with the hood,
he said,
Ron?
Everybody keep telling him we in the hood today.
What's wrong
with
that?
We don't be in the hood.
We never be in the hood like that. We always be up north. We don't be in the hood like that, right?
Hey, man, some of the best places are in the hood.
A lot of
the best places are in the hood. I agree.
Is Ron being a snob?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he is.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ronald. We're being a snob.
Ronald Charles.
Yeah. Is that? Okay.
Ronald Charles.
Okay. Ronald Charles. Anyways, we don't have time for that. Let's talk more about this because Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator of this Houston Texans team, was talking to the Assembly Media just not more than an hour ago. Was he doing that? So there was a lot of things to decipher from this, and I do think that he gave us some stuff. Like I was in some ways encouraged hearing some of the things. I think the one that really lit up my eyes was hearing about, you know, how he deems it very important to establish not just the plays, but the why of the play, understanding what the intent is of the play. I think that that is going to benefit this team to a great effect. However, just the idea of what the actual offense is going to look like is still something that is up in the air, and intentionally so, it seems like, because Nick Caley was talking about how, you know, right now they want to establish basically the details, how to do it, how they want their routes run, which I think is a fantastic foundation to come at this from. Make sure that the foundational details are good so that whatever plays, whatever principles you put on top of that, all of it is with the foundation of good, sound, detail-oriented football. So I love that that's where you start. However, he said a couple of things that I feel like are kind of at odds, and I don't want this to be like I am banging on Nick Caley, but I do think that it is worth acknowledging to some degree. He said that they're continuing to build their scheme, obviously, and that makes sense, right? What it's going to be. There's a lot of multiple things that they could get to that they want to try out. Whatever the things are that I imagine, you know, work with the players when they try them out. And whatever scheme sticks, I think that's what they'll go with. It feels very reminiscent of what they're doing offensively. Throw a whole bunch of guys out there in different circumstances. Whatever sticks is the one that's the best.
Yeah.
It's very market-oriented. It's very allow the market to dictate what you do. I like kind of that as a theory. However, he said the season is a long ways away, as if to say there's still a lot of time to work through this. But then at the same time, he talked about how You're not going to, you're not going to establish the offense in OTAs. I don't know about minicamp. We'll see about that. But really, and then when they talk about offensive line, some of those things, those principles, you're not going to be able to get them on their feet and see if they work. Because, again, it feels like a somewhat of a trial and error type situation until training camp. Training camp isn't all that long. So the idea that the season is a long ways away in order to develop the offense, but also some of the most important foundational parts of this is blocking and tackling that you're not going to be able to get on the feet. How do those mesh as a timeline? Are you also seeing the discord that's happening in my head about this?
No, look, we said it briefly, and now that I've had a little bit of time to digest everything that we heard and saw from Nick Cayley, I want to add one more thing, but I'll get to that in a second. I do feel like what he's saying and what you just said, they don't jibe because there's so little time for these guys to be on the field together. It's one thing to be working out, one thing to be in the classroom, going over things, but to be on the field 7-on-7, 11-on-11, seeing the linemen, the rotation of the line together against, albeit defensive front that's not padded, but still against the defensive front, you have to start now. And he knows that. He absolutely does. So I do feel like that, they are starting to get a good feel for things. And then I started thinking about this, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Because I was with you, and I was right there talking.
Uh-oh. I lost you?
No.
I made a left turn where I should have made a right?
But I still think it's true that this is going to be a multifaceted offense. He said it.
I think so as well.
Gap schemes, zone schemes. But I started thinking, because he was talking about what your personnel dictates.
Big, multiple. There was a lot of things. He really put his junk on the table when he started throwing out some of these football
He said what your personnel dictates, gap schemes, zone schemes, do what's necessary. It depends on what the players we have. I think he said we got. It depends on the players we got. All right?
Why'd you make that distinction of have versus got?
Because he shouldn't have said God, but that's all right.
Oh, he's going to be a snob right now.
He said it depends on the players we got. And this is where I'm going with this.
Okay.
They chose the players they have. They've changed the players they're getting, the players they have acquired.
I see what you're laying down there.
Better fit the gap scheme, better fit the New England style. Look who's playing starting center right now. If you had to pick, based on what they're doing, it's Jake Andrews.
Oh, it'd be something different if Mark Andrews is out here trying to block up.
Cam Robinson. They've got guys, I don't even know if he's going to play, but they've got guys like Trent Brown, that have that New England gaps game. And then the other part of it that's key to me, he seems to be over the top on Cade Stover. Big, hair on fire is what he said.
Yes.
Tight end, et cetera. So, yes, you're right. It is going to be, it's going to depend on the players you have, but you're bringing in players that fit a particular scheme better. And that, to me, is important.
I'm interested to see if that actually translates in the way that you're saying. Like, I hear what you're saying.
Look at the guys they brought in. Even Woody Marks, the one they drafted. Receiving running back. He's really good running the ball. That guy.
Hey, John.
But he's, he's out of the backfield guy. That fits a particular style as well.
Well, I mean, that can be relatively multiple. These guys you're talking about, I think they can fit multiple different iterations of scheme. I think that's the part of that, ultimately, that I get back to is, what are the ones that work? I like all of this in theory. I think the timeline is just the thing that gets me a little, I guess, anxious, for lack of a better term. I'm interested to see if you can get this thing on its feet earlier rather than later. Now, I guess the question that you ultimately then, and I really should fall back to, is how important is it to get this up on its feet in its full mature, iteration by week one? By week five?
Yeah.
Like by week 10? You get what I'm saying? Like at what point does this thing need to be at least mostly, if not fully, realized offensively? Because to some degree, it's a long season, right? You figure out more about your team during the course of the season as well. And I understand that, and I'm not trying to ignore that. But also, you need to win some of these games during the season to position yourself well, because we're still talking about an AFC that is tough. You still want to give yourself as best a circumstance as you can to go out there and try and contend against the Baltimores, against the Kansas Cities, against the Buffaloes of the world, maybe the Bengals of the world, depending on if they can get their stuff straight and actually get their dudes into camp, right? those are the teams that you're still looking to contend about, and you still want to make sure you get the wins mm-hmm. that are necessary to get to that place. And so you want to have this offense mostly realized at some point early on, especially because it's going to require a lot from CJ to have an understanding of not just the intent of what you're doing, but then to take that and be able to use that in a way where now at the line of scrimmage, yeah. I have enough of a grasp of what we're trying to do to change it when I need to.
No, I agree, and I think the answer is ideally, and it doesn't always happen this way, week one. I mean, you know,
when you get the Los Angeles Rams on the road.
Week one is when you want it. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have everything locked in. But I do feel like this is, you know, time is so precious right now, especially with a new offense, new offensive line coach, quarterback in a new role, so to speak, in terms of, you know, kind of blocking assignments and adjustments at the line of scrimmage, changing plays at the line of scrimmage. So I'm with you. I think it's very imperative, and I think that was more smokescreen, but you know, just not really being telling you everything that they need to tell you because they shouldn't, frankly. But I do think they're kind of honing in on what they want to be and really the players that they want to take those roles.
And now this is a very fair point and a good one made by two texters simultaneously, as if they are texting hand in hand as they go to get themselves ready to join the drive on the Crawfish Tour. From the 713, from the 832, the strength of their defense should give the offense a chance to develop. And I think that is a very fair point and a well-made one. Like, obviously, this is going to require a defense that, one, is way more actualized, and then, two, I think is well apt and capable of carrying the load for a period of time for them to get acclimated. I like that, and I appreciate that, and I think that gives me a little bit more a calmness when it comes to it. But I think ultimately the reason why I bring this up, obviously the timeline is one of it, but I think also it just points to another set of kind of check marks that you're hoping to cross off. It's mm-hmm. a lot of things that you want to go right in order to get you to the space, and all of it sounds good, but you have to be able to check off all these things, including can we figure out what the right organization of this offensive line is in the right circumstance? Can that particular offensive permutation of the offensive line play up to the standard? Is that standard enough of a foundation to then do the schematic things that we want to do? Can we execute the schematic things that we want to do at a high level? Do we have all the guys capable of living up to the standard all the way across? Because one of the standards that he established is that everybody, and I do mean everybody, mm-hmm. will block, which everybody loves hearing that. I know one of the dudes who loves hearing that, and his name is Clint Sterner, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody will block. Are you capable of actually doing that, or is that one of those things that you say at this time of year that ultimately you get into the season you can't really live up to? I think there's a lot of things.
That's what he's going to – I think he said that's a non-negotiable period. He went non-negotiable and period. No, I think that's definitely going to be part of the scheme.
Yeah, so that's the thing is I keep looking at it, and I think that, yes, you do have a pathway for this to get right, and I think I feel good about the way that they're going about it. I just wonder if they'll be able to stick the landing for even sometimes circumstances that are outside of their purview, which is just kind of the timeline, mm-hmm. and circumstances that are kind of in it. Yeah. Where the who you chose on the offensive line, the guys you decided to ultimately have there, and some of those things.
And just to reiterate, when he was talking about and asked about C.J. Stroud, he did say no concerns whatsoever.
Right.
Which, you know, obviously we always wanted to see him throwing the football, but he's on his own timeline. He reiterated that as well. But it is important to your point about timelines and getting this offense rolling at ASAP and being ready for the season opener. You know, he talked about mental reps and in the film room and involved in the communication and on the field and all that. Still, you do need that. You do need him to get on the field and start seeing some of these things and making some of these calls with his helmet on.
Yeah, but I, at the very least, one thing I can tell you, right? Because and he's there. He's his toes are on the boundary line. In his essence, like mm-hmm. in the videos that I see, he looks like at the first sound, at the first indication that they are willing to get him involved with whatever, you know, mm-hmm. outside of the whatever caution it seems like they're taking and keeping him from throwing right now, he's up for it. He wants to jump in there. I can tell the excitement. We can tell the excitement from, you know, when we heard him mm-hmm. after Nick Haley was introduced in the, you know, having more, or was that after the season actually, where, you know, having more of a hold on what the offense is going to be. You could hear the excitement that's in his voice. And some of that I imagine is for just the fact that he'll have that. And some of it seems like it just comes from Nick Haley, who seems like it's going to be more of a team project. Everybody's going to be involved, which I think generally when you have group projects where everybody gets involved, it gives you more of an opportunity for people to have ownership and more of an opportunity to really have innovative solutions to problems.
Well, the ownership thing, I think, was probably the most encouraging and enlightening thing that he said when he was, you know, because clearly we knew there was some issues between Bobby Slowik and maybe even some other coaches, Bobby Slowik and the offensive line, Bobby Slowik and C.J. Stroud. We know that now. But one of the things that he emphasized is he is encouraging players to ask why. So there is going to be that line of communication, and that specifically means C.J. Stroud. You know, C.J. Stroud wants to have a bigger voice, he's going to have a bigger voice.
Yeah. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Really excited to see more and more about this Texas as we get, you know, we see that progress, especially on the offense. Man, if that offense can hit the marks that they are setting up for it, this could be a problem. Mm-hmm. As I think we'll get to some audio. I think Chris Sims of NBC has similar feelings about this as well. But yeah, man, from the 832, yeah, I think Ron is being bougie, man. Somebody said Ron's going to make sure he presses his car alarm today. And this is the part that made me laugh. Maybe even bring out the club. When was the last time you thought about the club?
I saw somebody probably like a month ago.
No, we still using it to this day?
Yes, I was.
Does the club actually work?
It was just a hassle.
Do people know what the club is, by the way? I just realized that might be a big thing.
Chrome or steel or whatever bar.
It goes across the steering wheel.
Yeah, across the steering wheel to try and stop people from being able to turn it, which obviously would stop people from being able to abscond with your car.
I was getting in my car. I looked over. Somebody had the club on their car. No, I'm like, damn.
Oh, Brandon on the YouTube says he keeps the club in his car. Is the club really still out here?
It is, hey, I guess.
Man, it's a good weapon, too, man. Mm-hmm.
Wait, don't say that out loud. Somebody going to have to come talk to you.
Oh, it is. Oh, people in the hood know about the club as a weapon.
All right, here you go. You're in the loop right here on Sports. The club, I ain't heard about that in decades. All right, here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about the time where we do our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. And no clubs involved, but we will do that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, so I'm pretty sure you will disagree with this, but that's part of the fun.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it.
I don't know. I have no
so idea. The SEC is now, they raised the stakes on fans rushing the field after a big win.
Oh.
It is now going to be a, get this, $500,000 fine.
To the school.
To the school for fans rushing the field. I have two-part confession here. The first part is, I'm still not sure it's going to work. Think about this. Like, let's say Vanderbilt beats Alabama again. You think those kids are going to say, you know, I don't want to cost our school $500,000. I think I'm just going to stay with my hands full.
Oh, you think that's how the deterrent works? You think that's how the deterrent works?
Well, there's going to probably be more security and such as well.
Right. That's the thing. I think ultimately the reason why, sorry to step on your toes here, I think the reason why you put this in as the SEC is, no. We can't do anything directly to the fans. What we do is we're going to make it imperative for you as a school to take this serious enough. Do you want to lose this money or do you want to keep your kids from getting on the field?
So
I think Vanderbilt is in a place in the circumstances you outline where are we willing to cut the check for that?
Yeah.
Right. So if they beat Alabama, I have a strong feeling they'll find a way to cut the check on that instance.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like what this will cut down on is something that I probably, or what the theory is.
The semi-important win.
Yeah, the one that's like, hey, this feels like Auburn thinks, do we really want to cut $500,000 off of this one?
Yeah.
All right, we probably need to keep people in tow.
We beat number two ranked whomever.
Y'all need to sit down in y'all seats.
I don't know. Okay, so that's the first part. The second part to the confession is I kind of hope it doesn't work. I still say, and I've always said.
Oh, yeah, this is the part where I'll disagree.
It's the rite of passage. You know, every college student at a program, wherever, basketball, football, you deserve to rush the court or the field at least once in your college tenure.
For the second time in this particular Friday program, I will reference market economics, right? You are flooding the market with these field rushing in a point
matter.
Where you are
it's
less. You are lessening. No, it's not always.
It's not always. But
it is becoming a thing that is less special because y'all just want to get out here on the field. And this is the thing. Like, this is the thing outside of even the conversation that we've had back and forth. What they be doing on the field besides getting on the field and then taking selfies? If y'all going to be on
the field,
let's do something with it.
It's a rite of passage.
Are they celebrating?
I'm a stupid college kid. We just won a big game. I'm going to bounce around like a fool on the field. That's awesome. Everybody deserves to do that at least once.
But this is the thing. You deserve to do it when your team actually gives you something to do it behind. They be out here just doing it willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this ain't special. Y'all just doing it.
To tell me Oregon beating Ohio State, rushing the field, that wasn't special for them?
That might act like you've been here.
No, I agree with that. Oregon was like number one. And they number one, number two, or somewhere around there.
I get that.
Like, if I was on the team, I'd be like, damn, that's how y'all feel?
Yeah.
No, I get that.
I'm trash?
I thought it's the national championship game, the way they rushed that field.
I don't disagree, but what I'm saying is, like, every school, that big upset win, a legit one, you deserve to be able to have that.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, like, the legit big upset win does not happen nearly as much as these field stormers are happening.
Well, it's up to them. It's up to them, I guess.
Well, now it's up to, hey, y'all want to put the security on there?
500,000.
And that's the thing. I think that this is also like from the SEC perspective, from the conference perspective, I think it is worthwhile to kind of have this and have that kind of pared down, because part of the romance of it is that you have these moments and that these moments mean something. If this is happening damn near every week, do those moments when
it's worth 500.
The band is storming. The band is storming or is on the field or what have you. Like, those types of moments, do those stand out as things that you then can hearken back to and that people immediately think of if they're happening this frequently? I think it does behoove the SEC to try and have that be really in special moments.
Big upsets are still big upsets, no matter when and how many times it's done.
Hey, yo, they out here sniping at you from the 832. Lopez is good with this because they don't rush the field at Kyle Field. They out here saying y'all trash.
Yeah.
Do you have a retort?
I mean that's wrong. But yeah. I think
that ain't come from his spirit.
Yeah,
he's just saying that. Just like they be just rushing the field.
And then the next one, I was part of it when they rushed the field against Nebraska at Kyle Field. Yeah, there you go. Take that. They took care of each other. Oh, actually, it's the same number. That's weird.
From the 713, I'm sure big money boosters wouldn't mind footing the bill. Are you sure? Because the big money boosters we're already seeing like booster fatigue when it comes to like the NIL type, these kind of pay for play situations. And so you telling me that they not trying to get these cats in and pay their salaries, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, Mr. Big Booster Man, I need an extra half mil because we decided to storm the field.
I think it got to be a hell of a game too, man. Yeah. I'm talking about some last second type thing. To me,
yes.
But if it's like a blow, if it's like Vanderbilt blowing out Alabama or something, I ain't got to rush the field for this, man.
Yeah.
The reason why it's special, because it don't happen all the time. Anyways, I guess in a way, something that happens all the damn time. I never thought that this would be the government that would take this as a mission to civilize, an opportunity to get us back in a place as a society where we operate like civilized people, is Turkey. Because Turkey is apparently going to start fining airline passengers for standing up early and blocking the aisle.
Oh, baby. Now that's something we can all get behind.
I never thought I'd see, one, a government actually step in and create like a lawful ruling about this. And two, you could have given me a lot of guesses that it'd be Turkey. Like, I thought that it'd be one of these EU countries, because the EU is always the one setting these rules that ultimately are the ones that kind of change the world. If you like that iPhone with that USB-C, shout out to the EU, right? But Turkey was like, nah, we're going to handle the real issues. Y'all don't need to be standing up until we at the gate and it's your turn to go. And shout out to Turkey. My confession is, I never thought that I would be proud of Turkey. And when it comes to, and, you know, their government with, you know, they have their issues. and I didn't think that I'd be the one being like, hey, Turkey, you're doing it right.
They're doing it right. They absolutely are doing it right. That's something we can all get behind.
I had no idea. But yes, I need this to happen because it upsets me to no end.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I got to confess. Well, first of all, this is my second confession talking about another female rapper 2 days in a row. I want Lotto to come on down. So it's a rapper by the name of Lotto. And she had this to say about being a rapper. She said, being a rapper is harder than a 9-to-5. And this she elaborated on it. She said, you're the boss, you're the marketer, you're the manager, even part of the Glam team. You wear 100 hats. It's more than just making music, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with, you know, it's hard. You do wear a lot of hats. But my confession is, can we just stop throwing this 9-to-5 job thing around, man? I'm tired of the whole conversation of, oh, this is harder than a 9-to-5. It's so many different 9-to-5s you could go around, man, that's tough, and you wear a lot of hats and stuff like that. People just assume 9-to-5 is working at Mickey D's or something,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even consider Mickey D's a 9-to-5 either.
Yeah, but
and that job does not seem fun in rush hour.
Yeah,
not at all.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm tired of these same old evergreen conversations on social media, man. You got the 9-to-5 talk. You got the $200 dates. You got who bring what to the table. You got can your man have female friends. You got splitting the rent with your significant. I'm so sick of this stuff,
tired.
Man.
Yeah,
I am tired of being tired, man.
Yeah, I get it. And I think
it's
a
like
lot of
the
people,
MJ LeBron of discourse online.
I feel like whenever ain't nothing to talk about, somebody bring up 9-to-5. I couldn't date a man with a 9-to-5. It's just like, Why are we doing this?
I agree with you. I think it's thrown around way too much, too casually. And a lot of people realize the connotation is 9-to-5 is, you know, you're working in construction or the, you know, whatever it may be. There are all kinds of different ones. And I think people don't differentiate between something that is difficult and something that is work. Like what she's talking about is difficult.
Yeah,
it's, but it ain't work.
It's work to me, like you're working.
You're like, sweating. You're using your body.
It's a lot of work, but she also making millions of dollars too. So it's
she hasn't always, but so I get it's difficult, and I agree with the premise.
Yeah, to me, I wouldn't say
it ain't work.
Yeah,
like work. There's a difference.
can I tell you the portion of this that I think is short sighted by her?
Mm-hmm.
Right, is I think that the short sighted part of her is you are in a business where you are selling something, right? You are selling the entertainment. You're selling yourself as a product to some degree. A lot of these people who are listening to you got 9-to-5s, right? Whatever the 9-to-5 is. I don't think we need to do the my job is harder than you.
Yes.
Like, I don't think that's ever the place that you want to be.
Yeah, like, I think it's a lot of jobs that have his tough moments.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't understand how, you know, unless somebody was out there saying rapping is easy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know where this came from, but, like, I just don't understand just always throwing in 9-to-5s. Like, it's easy. It's all type of hard-ass 9-to-5 jobs, man.
Yes, there is.
From the 832, y'all got a 10-to-2 where you're wearing a lot of hats. You're not going to find me out here talking about how my job is harder than somebody else's.
And
I'm not doing that.
I'm not sitting here saying my job is hard. I love my job. But I do wear a lot of hats sitting in this chair right here. It's a lot of stuff I got to do that's not even related to being on the air and stuff like that. But I ain't about to sit here and take a stab at 9-to-5 workers.
I feel like there's dignity in all work.
I will say it's not easy. Some people think it's just back here just hitting the button and that's it and talking. It's not easy, but I ain't about to sit here and say it's harder than 9-to-5.
Okay. Yeah. Do you agree with this as a line of demarcation here from the 832 on the text line? They said, I think of 9-to-5 kind of colloquially as punching the clock and getting paid as opposed to non-9-to-5 meaning eat what you kill, for lack of a better term.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. But it's also a lot of 9-to-5 workers that punch a clock that's making a lot of money.
Grinding.
Yes.
Yeah. I would have risked it all. I would have risked it all.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I would have.
Jan going to dump you, man. I don't know what you're doing here.
Well, y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Nope. I really don't.
Did you see Megan Thee Stallion making the
rounds? See, look. Okay.
So.
I mean, I agree. I don't even know what you're talking about specifically. You're just like, did you see Megan Thee Stallion? Yeah. I would have risked it all.
You
got to
explain a little. You got to explain a little more because she was making the rounds for other reasons, too.
You're right. So Megan Thee Stallion was at the Paraiso Miami Swim Week fashion show. And she was wearing a very, you know, fashion show like, I mean, look at this, a fashion show like bathing suit.
An audio medium.
And the best part of all is.
Oh, wow. It's really featuring her assets.
No, look at this. There's a guy sitting in the front row next to his significant other.
And are you sure that's his significant other?
Well, I'm guessing. and he's just staring forward.
I don't mean to make judgments, but it is a fashion week. We can't assume we can't assume things about that gentleman. You know what I mean? We can't assume.
And he's just staring straight ahead. Like, I don't notice that. I'm just being very cordial. He wasn't doing it. I mean, look at him. He's just sitting there like, okay.
Oh, he gave the clap as in, yeah, you're doing such a great job.
Yeah. He did not want to acknowledge what was obvious in front of him. Very, very obvious, I might say. And I'm just sitting here. I saw that video. I started laughing. I'm like, I wouldn't have cared in that point. I'd have stood up. I'd have been like, yeah, baby. Yeah,
baby. Hey, man, how long is this video?
Yeah, baby. Would y'all have risked it all if you're in that same situation with your significant other?
Yeah, because it's her. I would have risked it all because it's her. But yeah, if it's like a girl in the gallery or something
just keep your
straight
eyes forward.
Tunnel vision.
Yeah, tunnel vision.
And then maybe drop something to turn around. Yeah. And, you know, or is that so-and-so? Just to kind of do a little peek look.
Yeah.
Yeah. we have now entered the realm that I like to call hating from the 619. Stop it, Lopez. You would have no clue what to do with that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And here's the thing.
Maybe she wouldn't have had any clue what to do with it.
All right. Okay. From the 619. I feel like you could even say that about me. I don't need to know what to do with it. I just want to try.
Yeah.
Let me
attempt.
Would you have risked it all next to your girl? That dude was just staring straight forward. And then at the very end, he did the little golf clap.
All right, next to my girl, I'm not trying to embarrass nobody in front of public. Now, the thing about it, if I know Megan's going to be here, I'm not sure I have a girl in that moment. They're man for themselves. These are special circumstances. We might be competing in that. I might be trying to box her out. No, you don't get to talk to her. I talk to her. There you go. That's I guess that is our lunchtime confession.
I mean, I confessed.
You definitely did. And that's not even a tough confession.
Stand up, hands over it. Yep. Let's go. Awesome. Way to go, Megan. We're all here for you.
Shout out to Houston Zone. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, one of two things could happen. We might talk to our friend Ben Olson of the Dynamo, but also we're a third of the way through the baseball season for your Astros. And so I wanted to talk about what have been the biggest surprises to this point in the season for the Astros and in the league. 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. Some humble brags happening here in the studio. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Yeah, 832, I'm right there with you. My fiance would just have to understand.
You have to.
It just
have
to. Yeah, my wife would understand. Like, she'd probably come to me like, damn, look at that.
I know, right? Like, hey. She going. Look at that. Watch the jiggle. Yeah, man, she just got a certain Eclaircie Small. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's, yeah.
Have you figured it out yet?
I'm still working on it. I'm still trying to decide on how I believe that to be spelled. Yesterday, if you missed it, yesterday, the Spelling Bee, the 2025 Scripps National Spelling Bee, we had a champion, an 11-year-old from Georgia, that won the championship, and this was the final word for him.
A Claire C. Small.
And we are trying to figure out if we can actually spell that. We're not looking it up. I'm not, and I think I'm going to give it a shot as we end the program today. But I've been giving everybody an opportunity to kind of figure it out. Oddly enough, our program director, Parker Hillis, was like, I got it.
Yeah.
Which I did not
expect.
That
wasn't even surprising.
I did not expect it. So now I'm going to look real bad if I don't get it right. I've been pondering on it. Immediately I heard it. I think I have an idea, but I'm going back and forth. We'll figure that out later in the program.
He also said that about Megan Thee Stallion.
So anyways, we're officially a third of the way.
That's a little surprising, too.
Look, Megan Thee Stallion, she crosses. She transcends. You know, she's a transcendent figure. Like, she's a real good athlete. She has. Yeah. She can cover a lot of different, you know, very multiple.
Versatile.
You know what I mean? Very versatile. Yeah. A lot of five-tool athletes, some would say. No, but we're officially one-third of the way through the baseball season. And so, let's talk about some of the biggest surprises to this point for the entirety of the MLB, but also the Astros. Somebody said Acorn C. Small. I don't think that that's how it's spelled, but I appreciate the effort.
Acorn. Shout out to you. I like that. It's an oak tree is what it's about. It's about an oak tree.
Them French, they love them oak trees. But yeah, man, what have been the surprising things about this baseball season?
Okay, so it's an entry point, obviously, to talk about the Astros, because there have been some pretty big surprises. Let me throw some of these out. I won't throw all of them. It was the 10 biggest. Well, maybe I will, but go through them quickly. Tell me if you agree or disagree. Major League Baseball's 10 biggest surprises.
I feel like there's one name that's got to be on here.
Aaron Judge is number one, because it says Judge being great is not a surprise. How great has been a shocker? dude is flirting with batting 400.
Which is crazy.
We're a third of the way through the season.
Like last year, the guy that we were talking about sitting at that kind of 400 mark was Luis Arraez.
Mm-hmm.
Was that last year or was that year before?
I think it was the year before, wasn't it?
Goodness
gracious.
Maybe
not.
No, I thought it was last year, but I might be wrong. Where it's just like, can you have, because it just seems damn near impossible for you to be able to do that for a long period of time. And he's kind of just like, he's just kind of a, you know, singles hitter. He's a guy who just kind of puts this in play for average as opposed to like having power. That is not what we're talking about when we talk about Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge is a big bat. I mean, he's first and foremost just a big dude. And so the idea that he'd be flirting with that in addition to all of the, you know, all the power that he also brings and the defensive prowess that he has as well. Like it's just, that is kind of incredible.
He leads the league in all four slash categories.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I mean, come on.
Yeah, that is, I mean, wild to consider that he is playing to that degree. And it's kind of funny to think about he's playing to that degree, and you still look at the Yankees and you go, okay.
Yeah.
Like, they're not that menacing. So I think, but yeah, that's a great point that, yeah, him playing at this level is kind of incredible.
We'll go through some of these others because some are more relevant to us than others, and then we'll get to the Astros. St. Louis Cardinals, that's a good one. They were left for dead. You know,
and I'm gonna still leave them for dead. They're not getting no love from me.
They're playing pretty good baseball.
Leap off cards.
AL divisional power, it said, is another three of the five AL Central teams. If the season ended today, would the worst division would now make the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean that's been an interesting thing, and maybe this is just kind of a jump off of that. Just the lack of strength of the AL in general, and I guess I should probably give the Yankees a little bit more love as they're 35-20.
Yeah.
They've had a good streak over their last 10. Okay. Yeah, I'm with you, Kick Rocks. Enough Yankee stroking. However, now the AL Central has been quite impressive for me. That is how many? Four teams above 500 there in the AL Central. And it's notable for me because I look at the AL Central historically and I just go, that is a division I don't have to care about. And that's not true this year. The Tigers are probably one of...
They're playing good baseball.
They're the best AL team.
Yeah.
And they're playing very good baseball. Shout out to AJ Hinch and what he's doing there. But then obviously you look all the way down, Guardians, Twins, and Royals all playing good baseball as well to some degree. The Guardians, interestingly enough, I didn't realize that their run differential is actually in the negative while they have a 30-25 record. And they've kind of had a little bit of stagnation of late. But yeah, man, the lack of strength overall in the AL feels like the AL is not really keeping pace with the NL generally, but at least it feels like the Central's kind of pacing with the level of competition that they're delivering there.
Okay, another couple here out of the list of biggest surprises at the third poll of the Major League season. This one does kind of impact the Astros. It says Nathan Eovaldi. 35 years old, turned back the clock. As of right now, he's in top 10 in pretty much every category, 9.5 strikes per 9 innings, AL Cy Young conversation.
No, for sure.
And so that's one that could definitely come back and...
I disagree. I don't think that'll come back and bite you because, not to be wrong, like he has been incredible. I think to pair that, what's also been a surprise in a positive for the Astros and negative for the Rangers fans is that offense has been putrid.
Mm-hmm.
That offense has been terrible. And like, obviously we know what happened in 2023, whatever. That, you know, last year, the way that it kind of went, the way that they fell off a table, you could look up and people would go, all right, well, was that a fluke of 2023 or did they just have a bad year? Because you could look at that lineup and reasonably go, there's dudes in there.
Yeah.
Marcus Semien has been terrible this year to the point where it's like, did he fall? Like, is he done? Are some of the questions that they're asking. They've got young guys that are not kind of falling in, and they had to fire their hitting coach this year. They bring in Brett Bruhn, you know, obviously a notorious name, and it still has not been good for them offensively. So, like, that has kind of been the thing that I think that's going to be the thing that keeps them entirely out of the opportunity of really competing with the Astros and the Mariners for the AL West. But that's the thing that really kind of feels like it's solidifying the idea that, 2023, kind of a fluke for them to win that World Series.
One more, and then I want to get to the Astros' biggest surprises at the third poll here. This one is just because everybody's rubbernecking and watching it. The Colorado Rockies. They are 9-47.
When a team is that bad, is it fun for you? Obviously not being...
It's rubbernecking. You just want to see how bad it is.
Right, you're watching the train wreck. Now, of course, if you're in the train wreck, if you're a Rockies fan, which first and foremost, why? But secondly, like if you're in there, not fun at all. From over here, I have an odd, like a morbid curiosity of just how bad can it be.
Yes, that's it.
Although it is also paired with just like a righteous indignation, if I can get there, of wow, that is an organization that is truly... not cared at all, and it really makes me mad about team owners that treat organizations like they have, like, you know, the Fishers of the world with the A's as well. I guess the A's have found a way to be some level of decent with the actual spending that they did this offseason for the first time in forever. But yeah, it makes me mad and at like the aftertaste is anger. But the first, I mean, the front up front is just like, wow, they are going to be historically bad.
All right. So let me give you five. I didn't give put 10
for the Astros.
These are my biggest surprises at this point in the season. Feel free to add, disagree with where I ranked them. Whatever you want.
Oh, you have this ranked.
I have.
Oh, I can't wait to tear this apart.
5 through 1. I wouldn't expect anything less. Number 5, my biggest surprise, and this is just from PTSD, is Lance McCullers Jr. pitching like this, or even just pitching.
That's a good answer. All
just pitching. I mean,
no, you're right.
Right?
No, he and the idea that he's been. I mean, of the how many starts has he had since he's been back? Is it 5?
4 or 5?
4 or 5. Mm-hmm. It's only one of them that's been kind of that's been like atrocious, and then I think probably the second worst was literally the first one that he had for the first you know first time he threw in what 2-3 seasons.
Yeah,
no, I think that has been impressive that he's been able to come in, especially since you've needed it so very badly, considering the injury luck that you've had, or maybe it's not luck, but you know, when it comes to starters, he's been very very useful and necessary, and it's been good to kind of see him do that. It's been good to see that slider be so damn good because he's going to need to be a true meaning of the word pitcher. And as of right now, it looks like he's going to be able to do that at least for the near future and hopefully through the entirety of the season because, again, you're going to need it.
Number 4 is Cam Smith, actually, as much as we were all about it during spring training, but Cam Smith actually making the squad out of spring training and contributing at a pretty high level.
Okay, I'm glad that this is a little bit lower because, I think you're right.
We were high on him, but it's like, wow, it really happened.
Yeah, and I mean, he was in that large, like, team-wide slump, but he's also coming around to, you're seeing all of it. And maybe the pseudo-surprise within that is, or the mini-surprise within that is just how good defensively it is, how fun it is with, I mean, and Dana said this, so to give Dana Brown his credit there, the athleticism will be enough, and that has been one of the really fun parts seeing him right field.
Number 4. Christian Walker, just in general.
Yeah.
Just in general. I mean, number 3.
The bad it's been, and then obviously the little good that you're getting on the back end of it. I'm not going to say I was surprised, but I was a little disappointed to see that he was not able to go yesterday. Hopefully we'll see what he has for today if he gets back to playing after, you know, catching one to the knuckles on the right hand. But yeah, man, it'll be really disappointing if he's going to miss some time, more than even just the game, just off of the fact that he was starting to turn this thing around after having such a rough start.
Yeah. Number 2. Jake Meyers, same thing.
Agreed.
I had no idea.
This is a resurrection of
career.
Like, this is career resurrection. Yeah. And it's weird to say that because he was going to be, like, he's still a really good defensive center fielder to the point where he was going to necessitate his playing. But this is a place where you have him batting 5th and such in your lineups. I think I've gotten to a place where I feel very comfortable that this is at least close to what he's going to be offensively. Like, we're getting an offensive player in Jake Meyers now, and that's absolutely one of the big surprises.
And number 1, I want you to make sure you don't get caught up in
look at him, he's trying to hedge.
No, because
he's trying to hedge.
Okay, I'll put it this way.
I don't like it already.
At the end of last season, going into the offseason, would you have ever in a million years thought Jose Altuve would be playing left field without having to, without doing it for Alex Bregman, just moving to left field? To me, it's still shocking.
The whole list is invalid now.
Seriously, like,
how good the bullpen has been is not on here.
Oh no, it's not on here.
I thought you were saving that.
I thought the bullpen was good. I mean, you know, it was going to be good. It's not a shock.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not this good.
Buddy.
Maybe not this good.
I need to see what kind of foresight. I need to go check the tapes because I did not feel that by any means. And like, not only.
I mean, it was talked about, but you had some guys that you were playing well in spring. Maybe that's it. I'm falling into the recency bias of going through spring training and seeing them and thinking they were going to be pretty good. But to me, Altuve, I'm shocked. I'm still shocked that he actually, this is the greatest player in the history of the organization playing second base.
It's not like he's been incredible left. He's been solid, I think.
I know, but just the fact that he did it.
I didn't even think that was a thing.
Just that he did it.
No, I mean, but I think I could see the path once they were decided that they were going to do it. Because I think the thing that made us not think that it would happen is that he is established as a great player. Yeah. You typically don't move those. It was unorthodox, but the idea that he could do it was there. And then obviously getting the bat in the lineup was the whole idea. I think for me, the bullpen, and I also will rip your line, your thing here, because Jeremy Pena taking that next leap absolutely needs to be somewhere in here?
Well, I don't know. Top five, because it was a big discussion point last year, going into this year. You know, is he? We've seen it before. You know,
were you not selling into the idea that what we were getting from Perignon in the last couple of seasons might have just been who he is? Which again is not a terrible thing.
Yeah, and we were also wondering, can he become that guy that we saw in the ALCS?
Has he not answered that in more?
100%,
like this, and so 100%. I feel like that's a surprise that's worthwhile for certain. I think that is.
Yeah.
There you go. Some of the surprises of the MLB season, specifically for the Strohs, to this point, a third of the way through the season. But coming up next, let's get to this, because I saw that there was a list put together ranking the NFL's top 32, of course, of the 32 teams, coach quarterback duos in this upcoming season. How do you think C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans rank? Let's talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.